and basketball analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know, what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him. I was okay with it because it wasn't about talent, I didn't think.
All right, let's get right to it.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it's that time again. It is time for the Bob Ryan, Jeff Goodman experience. Gary Tangway along for the ride. As you can see, Jeff, Bob is out in the great north, my home country, the state of Maine. Not too far from my birthplace. He's seen all the plaques and so forth. And actually, what is behind Bob is actually where he is.
It is.
That is where he is.
That is Webb Lake, ladies and gentlemen. And that is, we stay next door. And we're here at the gracious home of Mr. Dan Smith. That's our next door neighbor. And
that's right.
And here we are. But this is where we are. That is exactly what it looks
tough
like.
Tough life being Bob Ryan.
I remember that lake as a kid in the Smith family. It's one of the greats in the great state, great town of Mexico, Maine. I remember them well. So this portion of the podcast is brought to you by Bet Online. Continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Also brought to you by Athletic Greens. Start taking AG1 and you will feel better. Okay, guys, let's get to it. This whole thing with the Phoenix Suns and the owner, Robert Sarver, really has me going because, first of all, if people don't know, he was suspended for a year, fined $10 million, but basically being an asshole. Racial slurs, sexual innuendos, I don't know if legally you could say harassment yet, sexual remarks, just verbally abusive, just a terrible person. Bob, how does this guy get a team? After we went through with what we went through with the Clippers, how the hell does this guy get a team?
You have to consider the whole process and who are the peers. All right. Now, in order to get into a sports league, an owner, a prospective owner or ownership group must be approved by the existing members. Right. That's the way they all work.
Right.
They get approved by the board of governors of whatever league we're talking about, be it baseball, basketball, hockey, football, or ML, whatever. Okay. However, exiting them doesn't work that way. They don't have a vote them off the island vote too often that I know of. Now, we had Sterling. And the big thing that people are pointing out with the one difference in terms of the reaction is that they had Sterling audio, you know, when you got audio or video. And here, well, to me, that doesn't make a damn bit of difference, but that's what some people are saying. This guy, the original story was written by Baxter Holmes, Boston Globe alumnus, for ESPN.com. He interviewed over 70, that's 70 people. There is voluminous evidence of recurrent awful behavior on the part of this guy, this billionaire guy, to all our common sense, you'd think that his peers would be embarrassed. Now, one of the theories I'm throwing out there, I don't know what's true or not true. One of the theories that people espouse, and help me here, guys, is that, well, these guys, they all got some, not all, but they got some stuff in their own background that they don't need to have exposed if he comes back at them or whoever, someone defending him comes back at them. I don't know. You know, maybe there's some skeletons in some of their closets too, but they are reluctant to chastise someone. It was a rare thing. I remember it was Adam Silver, one of his first acts taking over from David Stern to kind of assert his authority. I think it was low hanging fruit. Would you guys agree to go after Sterling at that time?
Oh,
it was very low hanging fruit. And he picked it off the tree and got rid of him.
And plus he also had a guy bomber ready.
I thought one other thing out here, was that the unspoken quota? One owner is going to get dumped by his peers. Is that the unspoken? There's so much. There's no formula here. There's no rule book. There's no guideline. They have to make it all up as they go along.
But in this thing and age, to have this happen, it's just so disconcerting. I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, Jeff, it's embarrassing. And I thought the NBA was one of the leagues that were forward in their thinking.
Yeah, well, this is, again, the problem here is he got off light. You know, to me, a year is nothing. And
$10 million
is nothing to Robert Sarver. For Bob.
You know what it is exactly, we're told? One half of 1% of his worth of his net worth.
Right. I mean, that's a joke. It's a joke. So, you know, to me, again, if I was Adam Silver, I would have hit harder here. I wonder what the backlash will be among the players. But ultimately, Adam Silver's got to balance working for the owners, which is probably more important than anything, and keeping the players happy.
Well, it is. I mean, the owners pay the bill. They keep the lights on. But yes, if I'm a player, I'm upset with this. Absolutely. It's just, I don't know. I guess I'm just.
Well, keep in mind, too, guys, that he owns both teams. So we're talking about a team of women as well.
WNBA
signs paychecks for, which to me certainly is a very relevant factor in adjudicating this situation. Should be. You know, it's not just the Suns. It's the Sun.
Suns aren't the Suns of old that are irrelevant either. Like right now, they're a relevant NBA team that,
yes,
you know, again, like it'd be I'm not saying it'd be completely different, but it'd be a little bit different if they were kind of bottom feeder. Nobody would really care as much as I think you do when you have really talented players on your roster.
No, they're a threat. So it's the immediate backlash, I mean, is pretty heavy, but will it move, you know?
There hasn't been as much backlash as I thought there'd be. I thought there'd be more backlash of like how – I mean, I've seen some stories and whatnot, but to me, I felt like more NBA players would come out and kill Adam Silver and the NBA for this decision. And I haven't seen a lot of that.
Right.
No, you haven't. We haven't.
So stay tuned on this. Again, I guess I'm just naive. I thought Sterling was the bad egg and he was gone and we wouldn't be faced with this anymore. But again, that's probably being very naive on my part. Okay, let's get to some positive stuff. Believe it or not, it is mid-September.
Yeah.
And before you know it, real basketball will be being played.
They'll be throwing the ball up for real in 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So Jeff, let's start with you on this. Give us a nugget, something that you're excited to see for this season.
I mean, I want to see Kawhi Leonard back. Like, I'm excited to see Kawhi Leonard back. I think we've forgotten about how good he is, a healthy Kawhi Leonard. You know, you're talking about an MVP candidate, a guy that, again, had the Clippers relevant, him and Paul George. If they are both healthy, what can they do? I'm excited to see him back just because I think people have forgotten about him in the NBA, you know, hierarchy.
I've already had one disappointment, and I'm not being facetious here. I was totally fascinated with Chet Holmgren. I was curious to see how it was going to work out. Yeah. You know, it's a strange body to bring into the NBA in 2022. And how was it going to work out? He has this remarkable dexterous finesse skill set, but still an odd physique to enter into with all these giant men. And he doesn't even make it into the training camp. So I'm disappointed in that, number one. In general terms, the East is getting loaded up, I think.
Oh,
Cleveland
has
said, we mentioned this last week when we met, the Cleveland deal now has inserted themselves into the mix. Philadelphia is still not going anywhere, I don't think. And you know, you have to respect them. Milwaukee is Milwaukee. Miami is Miami. You know, and there's your East. It's this all this in terms, but the Celtics are right there. And they were knocked on that door last year, came very close. And I think have improved themselves with Brogdon. And we'll see whether they can find a way to replicate what they thought they had in that Gallinari. It's not a done deal yet. But Brogdon alone makes them a better team, I think. And so you got that. And then, of course, on the top of everything else is the defending champions, you know, who are, you know, their key players are on the other side of 30. And whether that will come into play or not.
Well, I got a couple of things, and it has to do with older players. First of all, I just want to see if LeBron can make a last run.
Okay.
You know, what's going to
happen? Oh, him, yes. It's always him.
You know, yeah, but, you know, I just.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
You know, I mean, I know that LeBron has taken some heat for some things. But as far as a player goes, I just want to see him. I want to see him back on the floor. I want to see him playing again. I want to see him play in meaningful games. I mean, LeBron James, I want to see him play meaningful games.
Okay.
I want to see him play in June, you know, in May. What's going on?
But the only way he plays meaningful games is if Anthony Davis is on the floor.
Right. And you're right.
Only chance. Like LeBron being relevant is completely tied to the health of Anthony Davis.
Right.
Period. period. Like if LeBron and AD are both top 10 players in the league, they've got a chance at least. I know, you know, the Russ thing is a fiasco. It doesn't fit. They didn't do a whole lot. That's the one thing. The Lakers couldn't do a whole lot. If you look at what they added and lost, you know, got Patrick Beverley. Great. I mean, what's that going to do for them?
Well, there'll be a fight.
He's serviceable. He's serviceable. That's but, all.
I'm not taking him. Right. You're absolutely right. And if Davis, whose history is so checkered with his injury history, is so restrictive that, you know, you can't count on him. But you're right. But I think you're 100% right. Otherwise, I don't pay any attention to them anymore. You
know? They'd be irrelevant. I mean, that's the problem is if one of the two of those guys gets hurt, they have no chance. They're not even a playoff team. And then it is sad. You're right, Gary. Like, you don't want LeBron to go out in these last few years not being a playoff team and just trying to hang on so that he can play with his son or sons, which, again, we should have a segment of that at some point.
Yeah,
I like it on one hand. Okay, we'll have a segment on it right now.
Well, yeah, nothing's going on, Jeff.
I know. Well, here's my deal. I love it because, again, I have a daughter who's 19 years old, and I would love to work with her at some point, right? It would be the coolest thing ever to be able to work with my daughter. So I understand what LeBron is doing here. It would be so cool, so much fun for him and his son. But Bronny James isn't a one and done player. No. He's not. He's just not a one and done player. And as a father, I would hope LeBron doesn't rush his son into the NBA because he is setting his son up to fail. If he does that, that is the worst thing he can do, is selfishly try to get his son so they can play together, because Bronny James could be out of the NBA then. And not have another chance, where he needs a couple of years in college. He might need 4 years in college to be ready, to be honest.
We both are fans of Doc Rivers. We're all fans of Doc Rivers. He did it with his kid.
Yeah, I mean, these fathers that are so smart sometimes just aren't level-headed comes to their kids.
That's life.
I know.
I one of my favorite – I don't want to name the name now. It's not – yeah. But I had a circumstance in my writing career in which there was a famous father and a famous son, and the father was absolutely irrational about, you know, that aspect of it, and rational on every other subject on this earth except that one, you know.
Yep.
And that's you know, now we've seen it in two sports that I know of, and that was hockey with Gordy playing with Mark and Marty. And they were good players, right? Definitely Marty is pretty damn good players. Mark, I mean, was pretty good, right? Was he all-star level, maybe even? I'm not sure. And then, of course, the Griffies, who not only played together, but hit home runs in the same game, which is...
Yeah, the Griffey thing. The Griffey thing.
But that's fine. It's a nice, as Jeff said, a laudable objective if it's reasonably plausible. If, you know, but the people, most fans are getting this idea, unfortunately, through LeBron, that Bronny is at the top of his food chain in his group, and he's not. He's a nice prospect, right?
Right. Well, that's the problem. As you mentioned, Griffey. Griffey Jr. was better.
Oh, Junior was a prodigy. Absolutely.
That's different. Griffey Senior is a little bit.
If it were, he was the equivalent of you name any ballyhooed basketball. He's the equivalent almost of LeBron himself when he came into baseball. He was known. Everybody in baseball knew the kid. Was, you know, it was spectacular, you know. So anyway, he was a prodigy, and in a way that we know that LeBron is not. He's a good high school player.
Right. No, you guys are right. It's gonna be interesting to see. But I hope that LeBron is not just remembered for that. But I think Bob's point is well taken. When it comes to being a parent, sometimes you lose all sense of perspective.
But before we close the door on LeBron, I want to fully acknowledge that the year he had last year didn't get sufficient credit for how great he was at times last year,
right?
You know,
right.
Himself and getting things done at
the he's still incredible. He's incredible. Yeah. And this isn't about LeBron. No. This is about Bronny.
Right.
This
right.
is about rushing your son when honestly you're doing it because you want to play for your son. Yeah. You're doing it for selfish reasons instead of looking at the long game here, which is, you know what? Bronny needs time. He needs time to develop. And also the college experience. Like this kid, when I saw him, I was blown away by him. I've seen him for a few years now. But, man, Bronny just plays the right way. It's a circus around him, you know, of people wanting to watch Bronny James. And he's a top 40 player in his class, somewhere around there. But you would think he was the number one player because obviously he gets more hype, more fans, everything. You can't get into the gym when he's playing. And this kid just handles himself kind of like LeBron did when he was that age. Now, again, he's not as good as LeBron, but he just even keel, smart, doesn't react to anything, just plays the game the right way, high IQ player. So, you know, again, I was sitting next to Gloria James, LeBron's mother, for a game and talking to her a little bit about Bronny. And, you know, I just said to her, I said, listen, it's fun to watch. I mean, I remember sitting with Gloria to watch LeBron when he was 15 years old at ABCD camp at Fairleigh Dickinson University, and now watching Bronny James with her sitting courtside. And again, I think he just, his maturity is such that you think maybe he can go into the NBA from a mental maturity standpoint, but I just don't think talent wise, he's ready to make that jump after 1 year. He will be.
Right. Okay, we have more stuff coming up. Also, we want to talk about coaching challenges in a second. But we are driven by our partners at BetOnline. They continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, Major League Baseball scores, fights, and even the NFL season, folks. Get with it. Just don't bet on the Patriots. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering needs, including live betting. And, of course, your favorite Vegas casino and poker games. It's really easy to get started. So head to the website today or use your mobile device. Sign up. Use the promo code CLNS50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline is where the game starts. Hey, you want to feel good? You want to look good? Check out Athletic Greens, folks. Athletic Greens. Cost less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. It's cheaper than getting all different supplements yourself. You're investing in an all-in-one nutritional insurance. So to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D in 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/hoops. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/hoops to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance from AG1 Athletic Greens. Okay, I think that this is the most interesting story. Who has the biggest coaching challenge for this upcoming season? Bob, we'll start with you on this one.
Challenge. I think a team I want to talk about anyway, I'm going to throw in. The reputation is kind of at stake for Tom Thibodeau. The reputation is, you know, about how good he really is.
Good yeah. one.
So I'll just start with that one. Now, I'm a little bit obsessed with the Knicks. And we're going to get to that. And it's the saga of the Knicks. I'll put it back.
You can elaborate
but
on it.
The fact is that, think about this. You have to be 40, at least 30, 40 years old, probably, to have remember when the Knicks were really relevant. That's how long the drought has been. They have won one playoff series in the 21st century. And the league is always better off, when the Knicks are in the mix. Because New York is a total polarizing situation for fans in any sport at any time. And I know I lived through, you know, all the 70s when in the beginning when the Knicks were the great team and won the two championships and lived through it again, you know, when they had the second run, the Ewing group, and they went to the finals in 1995, when when Houston beat them. And they had a chance. They could have won, they should have won game six. They had a real, and of course, game seven was the fiasco when Starks went 2-for-18, you know. But anyway, the Knicks, the big dialogue, by the way, as you both know, I'm sure, is the lamenting that they didn't get Donovan Mitchell. Everyone seemed to see there was some kind of foregone conclusion that they were going to get Donovan Mitchell. And one more thing I have to say, they made a significant move to improve the team by getting Jalen Brunson, a player I totally love, but I love him. for what he is, not for what I think they are projecting him to be. If you know what I mean, they're treating this as if they just hit the ultimate jackpot, you know, of a superstar player. And he's not. He's a wonderfully cerebral, laudable player. You want him on your team. I wanted them. I've wanted them to back up here, you know, and for a couple of years. And the Knicks, who 4 years, I'm told, what, 100 plus at him. And he's
not
the guy. He's not the guy. He's anybody's guy. He's right. He's a nice piece.
They don't have a guy. That's the problem. They don't have a guy. They've got some good players. Jalen Brunson's a good player. RJ Barrett's a good player.
Barrett. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
remember when they gave him 4 years, 120.
And remember when in the bubble, everybody thought Julius Randle was the guy. Well, he's a good player again. They've got three good players that are all probably in the 25 to 50 range when you're talking about the best players in the NBA. And now they could go to the playoffs again with this group. Like, they could crack the playoffs, but they're not going anywhere.
Well, if they do, it'll be because of maybe the Quickleys and the Toppins of the world will incrementally improve their own game. Because there's something to like, you know, I don't know how you feel about Quickley, but you see sparks with Quickley.
Good guy coming off the bench who can score. Yeah.
All right. And then one more thing, of course, Derrick Rose is still hanging around. And now they play, but he's always hurt now, you know, and he's 30, whatever now. Then
great backup, though, Bob. Great backup.
Yeah, still in the mix. So, but the point is, now we get to the coaching thing, which is what Gary got to start about. Yeah. Tips, you know. I think people, you know, he had a pretty big reputation, and I think he's got some at stake here. I think he's got to make something happen.
There's only one answer to that question, Gary. There's only one answer, and that's Steve Nash. That is Steve Nash. The shit show that is going on in Brooklyn right now, and watching KD walk through that door, and you're Steve Nash, and you're the nicest guy on the planet, and you know he doesn't want you there. And you've also got to handle Ben Simmons and Kyrie. And you're like, every day, don't you go to work and you're like, what the hell am I doing this
for? Oh my God.
I don't need the money. I know. I don't need this shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, why am I doing this? At some point, isn't Steve Nash going to wake up and go in to Sean Marks and say, just fire me. Just fire me, please.
If they make the playoffs, even if it's the play-in game again, he should be coach of the year. seriously. It's unbelievable.
Or unpredictable, you know, scenario. Because you don't know what you're going to get out of Simmons. You don't know what you're going to get out of Kyrie, if anything. And you know, you do know what you're going to get out of Durant if he chooses to play for you. If he chooses to play. So, but yeah, you're right. You're right. Steve Nash, it's not good. Not good at all.
All right, guys, we're going to wrap it up here. With the Celtics, do we see the Celtics regress? Jeff, I'll start with you.
I mean, listen, if you're asking me, are they going to – the only way they move forward is if they win the whole thing. And obviously, they can stay the same and go to the finals and lose. Or do they take a step back? I say yes. If you're going to ask me which of those three I would bet my house on, I would bet my house that they take a step back, even though I think they've gotten better in terms of their personnel. But, you know, again, other teams have gotten better too. You need luck, all of that. I think they're one of like a half dozen teams that has a shot. And I think, as Bob said, the East has gotten a lot better. We'll see. I mean, they could win it all. They could get to the finals, lose again, or they could lose in the Eastern Conference, you know, second round. And it wouldn't shock me. They're not that good. They're good. They're good. They got a lot better. But we still only saw this for how many games, guys? How many games have they done this for?
Half a season.
Well, pick a date in the middle of January that something happened. I still like to know. Something happened. Somebody said something. Something happened. Because the difference in the dialogue that we were having in the months of November, December, and the first half of January, and the dialogue we were having in April and May is startlingly different and more and much more positive. But, you know, we saw things happen. We saw Smart. I'll go back to it again. If you had told me that I would ever see him on a game when he would be 2 for 13 with 13 assists, I wouldn't believe it. It happened. And, you know, he did basically turn himself into a recognizable point guard. Didn't think he could do it. I said categorically, I didn't think he could ever do it. And he acted as a point guard. You're right. It could go either way. But the least we can say is they're going to be worth watching. I mean, there's so many good components. Yeah,
this is the way and I look at it.
I hope you may have to hose me down about having Brogdon, okay? I'm hopelessly biased in favor of Brogdon.
Oh, love
him. I can't believe
here's the reality.
I can't believe they got and they got him, you know, without giving up anything that they needed. You know, they improved this team with, you know, on paper without sacrificing anything needed. Nothing.
Here's the reality is they could be better and not get to the finals.
Right.
Oh, that's a sports phenomenon.
Yeah, I mean,
people think it's an automatic. People think it's automatic, but they're going to go back.
But they could be better. That's the thing. Like, if they go to the Eastern, like to me, if they go to the Eastern Conference Finals and lose but play well, to me, that's progress. Because last year was a little weird.
Here's an exhibit A of what you're saying, guys. The Atlanta Hawks. 2 years ago, the future looked one thing, and it didn't materialize last year. And I mean, just an example of how it can go. There was great optimism. Now here's another one. We'll watch in the other conference, a team that we all like, I think, very much. Well, let's see what happens now. And that's Memphis.
Yeah.
Right. Memphis.
The Knicks.
They're on that verge. The Knicks 2 years ago, they were 41-41.
People just think it's automatic because, again, you got there last year and you added Brogdon, you're going to get back automatically. And that is not necessarily going to happen.
It's not. I think the odds are against.
As an exit throwaway, guys, did you note that two of our alums have taken the fatherland to the semifinals of Eurobasket? Dennis Schröder and Daniel Theiss have led Germany past Greece into the Eurobasket semifinals. That's just alumni division. I just thought I'd put it out there.
And that's a great note to end on. Gentlemen, thank you very much. We are going to give Dan Smith producing credit for this. Bob, enjoy Weld. It's awesome up there. Jeff, we'll see you soon. Thanks for doing the show, guys. We'll talk to you next week.